name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this week, when I was putting together the preview for the Sunday preview, I sent out an email. I was focusing on the topic of growth, growing as a Christian. Yet also in the back of my mind were some of the immediate issues that we've been facing as a society, in particular the extremism which occurred in Buffalo, New York, just 8 days ago. Something that struck me personally pretty hard because it was so close to where I grew up. Upstate New York, everything is so close. But generally that was something that was very disturbing and personally struggling for words. You know, the hatred that was espoused there and was carried out, that act of violence was very awful. Just as all of the violence that we see even within our own communities can be quite, is quite awful and antithetical to the gospel. And I wondered, I was really struggling as I was preparing for today, exactly how these two might speak to one another. And why would spiritual growth be so important to say when we're faced with these ideas and ideologies which people find on the internet and go through terrible things. And I might put it this way. Our spiritual growth is incredibly important because it provides witness. Our spiritual growth is important because it shows the world an example of something different. Something different from the hate, from the fear, from the injustice. And somebody could walk into St. Francis here and look around and see all of us and all of our beautiful differences getting along and loving one another, following the injunctions of our Savior to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, somebody can come in and see that. It's how we interact with one another, and we can be this great witness to the world. And yet we do take time for things like Bible study, for daily prayer, for weekly Eucharist, because all of these things not only help us grow spiritually, but if you think of that witness as a light, every time we engage in spiritual growth, that light gets a little bit brighter. Every time we grow closer to Christ, so that our hearts are transformed by the gospel, our witness to the world becomes that much stronger. And so Jesus gives us these great gifts which help with spiritual growth. Actually, they're the essence of spiritual growth. Gifts of love, gifts of hope for what this world is being transformed into, and gifts of peace. And not a peace as we're used to seeing, but a peace that has to do with fullness and stability, where everyone is cared for and then some. We have all of these great gifts that Jesus gives us. In the gospel message we heard, this is probably one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Look, it's part of a much larger passage, which is my favorite. But it is Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples. He is about to be betrayed. He is about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, be crucified, all of that. And he spends a lot of time giving some of his most intimate teachings, some of his most touching times with his apostles. One of the things he said, and started off by saying to Judas, and then the gospel writer had to make sure we understood, to Judas, not Iscariot. That guy sure got a bum wrapped in peace. Probably the one way to stand up and say, not all Judases are like that. But certainly, Jesus said to him, those who love me will keep my word. And the Father will love them. And I find this pretty extraordinary and pretty remarkable, because what he's saying is, I'm inviting you to love me. And then two things will happen, two consequences of this love. And one is, you will keep my word, and the other is that the Father will love you, which is really profound when you stop and think about it. When you are offered the love of the Father, and this is a love that goes beyond what we can ask or imagine, we are drawn into Trinitarian love, which I've talked about before. that within Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there is this constant giving and receiving of love and affirmation and affection. There's perfect acceptance and non-judgmentalism. It's just a beautiful thing. And Jesus is saying, when you love Him, you know, the Father loves you in the same way that the Father loves the Son. You are drawn into and become a part of this Trinitarian love. You know, despite the fact that we're nowhere near the perfect love that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exchange with one another, but because we're human beings and have mistakes and flaws and what have you, that doesn't matter to God because He draws us into that love anyways. So we are drawn deeper. And have you ever noticed that somebody is just really nice to you? Or when you notice somebody just loves you completely, but for who you are, no questions asked, no judgment, just being there, gives you their attention. You can completely be yourself with this person. That changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the way you interact. It's going to lift your mood, the way you treat other people. It will just have this wellspring to draw off of. And the gift of Christ's love is that and more so. The gift of Christ's love is having this eternal, this completely unending source of love from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we can engage in love of God and love of neighbor. And it really seems so simple, doesn't it? It really seems like that's it. That's all we need. And yet, while it is that simple, we look at the world around us and the challenges we face, and sometimes extremely horrific events, and we need another gift, too, that Jesus knew about and gives us as well. And that's the gift of hope. And He goes about this by talking about His ascension to the Father. He says, I'm ascending to the Father, and you should rejoice because the Father is greater than I. And you might say, well, what does that mean? One and done, Jesus is gone and just left us alone? Well, actually, the opposite. Because the Father is eternal. And the Son is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. And yet, with Jesus' ascension, going from our world into heaven, which is eternal, He is in a place where He, in one moment, He can span all time and all places. This kind of really unique thing that the same Jesus who ascended into heaven, the same Jesus who is speaking to the apostles, giving them this beautiful farewell discourse, can ascend to the Father and thus be with us in 2022 in Virginia Beach, which none of this even existed back when He ascended. And yet that same Jesus is able to touch us and to affect us and to make a difference. That same Jesus offers us His love. And that same Jesus offers us His justice. And by justice, I mean a kind of way of being where people have everything they need in themselves. Kind of justice where the things of this world which people need to survive and thrive are just distributed so well and are so prolific that there's an abundance. And so that people, human beings themselves, don't have to worry. They don't have to fear for their security and fall into hate. They don't have to worry about peace because Jesus is giving it all. When Jesus touches all times and all places in this way, it does have an effect. And what we see in Revelation here, just briefly, it gives us an idea of what that effect looks like. The detail they're talking this time is talking about this river which came out of the waters of life, it came out of God, and on it were 12 trees on either side. These were the trees of life. And it says, they bear fruit in every season. Really caught my attention, probably because at this time of year, we look at the fruit plants, the trees and bushes that have been planted. They're just starting to become ripe right now. And I saw my strawberries, we got some strawberries early this year. I'm seeing blueberries start to ripen, the blackberries are coming into being. And it's growing of these things, you realize there's a season where they produce fruit, and then the rest of the year we don't have it. really kind of a wonder how you can go to the grocery store and get all this wonderful produce all year round. It has to be shipped in from a lot of other places. When Jesus was talking about in Revelation, what Scripture was describing is trees that give their fruit in every month, all the time, which is pretty remarkable because you can feed people all the time, that kind of, something like that. Now, was he strictly speaking about trees and fruit? No, I don't think that's the entirety of the message. I think the entirety of the message has to do with justice, meaning the basic necessities of life: food, clothing, shelter, companionship, love for one another, will be so readily available and just there for all, so we can receive it, we can thrive with it. Drive fear and hatred away. One of the nasty things that I saw as I was trying to understand this horrific event in Buffalo is this, it's a lot of hatred and driven by a lot of fear, which on the surface is kind of preposterous. He was cited, the person who committed these horrible acts cited this kind of great replacement thing where he thought that white people were under attack and there was this white genocide going on. I don't like talking about that. It's really nonsensical. I mean, but even a nonsensical fear can be a very dangerous fear, as we've seen. But the other thing that came to mind as I was reflecting on it is how antithetical it is to the gospel. Nowhere in the gospel do we see God wanting to replace one group of people, no matter who they are. Nowhere in the gospel do we see it, we want to see a group of people just completely done away with. No, what we see in the gospel is something that heals the nations. That's the other part from Revelation, that is the trees and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. They're bringing us all together. We can love one another. You know, and again, through love of God and love of neighbor. So this hope that Jesus is offering us, the hope that spans all time and all places, is seeing love of God and love of neighbor to its fullest expression. We see it now in places. We see it now as our witness in a place like St. Francis, where we do love one another, and we all come together despite our differences, and actually celebrate our differences, because they're wonderful. We learn so much from one another, and appreciate so much from one another. And when that comes to its fullest expression in the whole world, that is really something to look forward to. And what we have to look forward to in those times is the gift of peace. Jesus also said these words, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you." Now this is the kind of peace that I'll go out on a limb and say, probably none of us have experienced peace to the extent that Jesus was talking about. Jesus is talking about a kind of peace that is full and balanced and just stable. It goes far beyond just an absence of conflict. The kind of peace that Jesus is talking about is something that is just perfect and nothing is going to disrupt it. It's a kind of promise that transcends even our best experiences of peace. Perhaps you can take one of your best experiences of peace and say it's more so than that, and it expands to the entire world. And that's why spiritual growth, again, coming back to it, is so important. Because we are reaching out for peace. We are reaching out for that place of balance. We are reaching out for that place of fullness. In everything we do, every witness that we provide, just a little bit more of a nudge. And at some point, right, this is all going to come to fruition. This is why Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of all these words that I have spoken to you. Because when horrible things happen, we need to be reminded, don't we? Remember the day after 9/11 in 2001, the first thing I did was went straight to church and had a service there for peace because people needed to hear words of hope. They needed to hear the words of Christ. And every day, we're having new challenges. Every day, we're having these times where we need to be reminded of God's grace. We need that message. We need to be uplifted. We need those times. Because the goal is always the same, despite our challenges. The goal is always there, to be at peace with Christ. So we do need to grow. Because while we have these pieces, and while we abide this witness, no, it isn't there completely yet. It's not here yet. There still is violence, there still is hatred, and there is still injustice that we have to deal with. And that's why a place like St. Francis is so important. Just again, look around. But look around us, knowing the witness we're able to give to this world. And as we grow in faith, we grow together and individually close to Christ, that witness gets a bit stronger. It's like a light. It just gets a little bit brighter. It lets us see a little bit more clearly the future that God has for us. When we come together in a place like St. Francis, we get a glimpse of what the world will be like. A world that's governed not by hatred, but by love. A world that's governed not by fear, but by hope. A world that's affected not by violence, but peace, a deep peace. Peace, God, that surpasses all understanding. Now, the church should always be a place where the nations are healed. The peoples come together and experience that great, great peace. So together as we grow into that world. Amen.